Welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at, going back in time to the Roman Empire.
Okay.
Way before the internet or even, a reliable postal service.
Okay.
Imagine trying to spread a message as world-changing as, Christianity in that era.
Yeah.
That was the challenge facing Paul, and his journey to Rome was anything but direct.
Yeah, it was quite the journey.
You shared some fascinating lecture notes on Romans from Dr. Craig Keener.
Yes.
Focusing on chapters 15.29 through 16.7.
That's right.
I'm excited to unpack this with you. We'll explore Paul's travel plans, his ambitious Spanish mission, and the incredible network of support behind him, especially the often overlooked roles of women in the early Christian movement.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, ready for some serious aha moments.
I think we will.
So, when we think about Paul's journey to Rome.
What's really fascinating here is that Paul saw Rome not as the final destination, but as a strategic stopover.
Oh, interesting.
His ultimate goal was even more ambitious. Spain. What made that so challenging back then?
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Spain didn't have the established Jewish communities or synagogues that Paul typically used as starting points for his outreach.
Right.
Plus, he would have faced significant language barriers.
Oh, wow. So a real leap of faith into uncharted territory.
Absolutely.
Dr. Keener really emphasizes Paul's adaptability and commitment here, doesn't he?
He does.
It seems like Paul was constantly pushing beyond his comfort zone to spread the gospel.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and before he could even think about Spain, Paul had another crucial task.
Okay.
Delivering a collection of funds to the church in Jerusalem.
Okay.
This wasn't just a simple charitable donation.
Yeah.
It represented the unity and interdependence between Gentile and Jewish Christians across the Roman Empire.
This collection wasn't just gathered overnight, was it?
No.
It seems like it involved churches from all over.
Yes, it did.
That must have taken some serious organizational skills on Paul's part, not to mention the remarkable generosity of the early believers.
Oh, absolutely. And the Jerusalem collection wasn't just about money.
Right.
It might have been a powerful symbolic act, potentially even fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah about Gentiles bringing tribute to the Lord.
Really?
Remember what Paul said in Romans 11?
Ah, refresh my memory.
He talked about provoking the Jewish people to jealousy.
Right.
And some scholars believe this act of generosity could have been part of that strategy.
Wow. I hadn't considered that before.
It's an interesting thought.
So you're saying that this financial act could have had prophetic implications as well?
That's what some scholars think. Yeah.
This is why I love these deep dives. Always something new to uncover. Now let's talk about Phoebe.
Okay.
Paul entrusted his letter to the Romans, one of the most important theological texts ever written, to her.
Yeah.
Dr. Keener says she was a diakonos.
Right.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, the Greek word diakonos has a few different meanings. Servant, minister, or even deacon.
Okay.
It speaks to Phoebe's active role in the church.
Right.
Now, imagine the responsibility of being the first person to explain such a complex and nuanced letter to a new community.
That's a huge responsibility.
It is.
It really challenges the traditional assumptions about women's roles in the early church, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Paul clearly trusted Phoebe with a critical task, suggesting that women played far more prominent roles in early Christianity than many people realize.
And Phoebe's story is just the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Keener highlights other women throughout Romans 16 who were instrumental in spreading the gospel.
Yes. There's Prisca, often mentioned before, her husband Aquila.
Okay.
She's commended for risking her neck for Paul.
Wow.
And then there's Mary, known for her tireless work for the church.
Really?
What's striking is that percentage-wise, Paul commends these women more frequently than men in Romans 16. It suggests a deliberate effort on his part to acknowledge and encourage their contributions in a culture that often marginalized women.
It seems like we're only just beginning to understand the vital role women played in building the early church.
I think that's true.
And then we have Andronicus and Junia.
Yes.
Mentioned in verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
They were likely Jewish Christians from the Jerusalem church, right?
Yes. And possibly even fellow prisoners with Paul at some point.
Oh, wow.
But here's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Paul calls them outstanding among the apostles.
Outstanding among the apostles.
Yes.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is.
Could you explain what that title meant back then?
Well, it wasn't a title given lightly.
Right.
Generally, it referred to individuals who had witnessed the resurrected Jesus.
Okay.
And were commissioned to spread the gospel.
So this wasn't just some honorary title.
Right.
It meant they had real authority within the early church.
Exactly.
Wow.
And here's where it gets even more intriguing. Mm. Some scholars believe Junia may have been a woman.
Wait, a female apostle?
It's possible.
That changes everything. Tell me more about that.
Well, the possibility of Junia being a female apostle has sparked quite a debate among scholars.
Right.
It challenges many long-held assumptions about the diversity of leadership in the early church.
Yeah. It really makes you wonder what other aspects of early church history we might be misunderstanding.
Absolutely.
Or overlooking. You know, if a woman could be recognized as an apostle, what other leadership roles might women have held?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
To fully appreciate the significance of this, we need to consider the broader context of Paul's letter to the Romans.
Okay.
He was writing to a church he hadn't even visited yet.
Oh, wow.
A church comprised of both Jewish and Gentile believers.
Rome was a melting pot of cultures and beliefs back then.
It was.
I imagine it must have been challenging to bring together a community with such diverse backgrounds.
Oh, absolutely.
What kinds of tensions do you think Paul was trying to address in his letter?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Rome was incredibly diverse.
Right.
Paul's letter was, in a sense, an attempt to lay a foundation for unity and understanding amidst those cultural and religious differences.
Okay.
He was trying to bridge the gap between the Jewish roots of Christianity and the influx of Gentile believers.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like he was writing the ultimate guidebook for a brand new multicultural community.
Yes, in a way.
And within that community, the role of women seems particularly complex.
It does.
Roman society in general was quite patriarchal, wasn't it?
Yes. Women in Roman society had limited legal rights.
Right.
And were often confined to the domestic sphere.
Right.
Their voices were rarely heard in public life.
But we're seeing that within the early church, things might have been different.
That seems to be the case.
Okay.
Paul's greetings and commendations in Romans 16 suggest that women were actively involved in ministry, leadership, and possibly even, as we've seen with Junia, in apostolic roles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a radical departure from the traditional narrative we often hear about women's roles in the early church. It raises the question, why were these contributions so often downplayed or overlooked in later centuries?
That's a complex historical question.
Right.
That we can't fully unpack here.
I understand.
However, Dr. Keener stresses the importance of understanding the historical and cultural context of the Bible.
Right.
We can't impose our own modern-day assumptions on ancient texts without risking a skewed interpretation.
So what can we learn from the stories of Phoebe, Prisca, Mary, and potentially Junia?
Well,
what do their examples teach us about leadership, service, and the power of personal connections in spreading a message as revolutionary as Christianity?
I think these women were pioneers.
Yeah.
They defied cultural expectations and risked their lives to spread the gospel.
Right.
They were teachers, leaders, patrons, and vital members of the early Christian network.
Mm-hmm.
They demonstrate that God uses all kinds of people, regardless of gender or background, to build his kingdom.
That message resonates just as strongly today, doesn't it?
It really does.
We still live in a world where women's voices are often marginalized or silenced.
Sadly, that's true.
Yeah.
But the early church offers us a powerful counter-narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us a community where women's contributions were not only valued, but celebrated.
Right.
They were essential to the movement's growth and vitality.
Their courage, faith, and dedication are truly inspiring.
I agree.
And we've only scratched the surface of what their stories have to teach us.
I think so.
What other insights do you think we might be missing when it comes to the role of women in early Christianity?
You know, I think one of the most important takeaways is that the early church was far more diverse and dynamic than we often give it credit for.
Right.
And as we dig deeper into the historical record, we're likely to discover even more examples of women who played significant roles.
It's a reminder that God can use anyone willing to step out in faith and answer his call, regardless of their perceived social standing.
Absolutely.
We should never underestimate the potential impact of any individual man or woman.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. And speaking of impact, this deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening for me.
Good.
What stood out to you the most?
That's a good question.
I think the possibility of a female apostle is still swirling around my head.
Yeah.
It really challenges my understanding of leadership in the early church.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thought.
What about you?
For me, it's the unwavering commitment of those early Christians,
yeah,
men and women, to spreading the gospel even in the face of persecution and societal pressure. Mm-hmm. It speaks volumes about the enduring power of faith and the strength of their convictions.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's amazing how just a few verses in Romans chapter 16 can open up such a vast and complex world.
Yeah, it really is. It highlights the importance of paying attention to those seemingly small details.
Right.
They can lead to incredible discoveries and challenge our preconceived notions.
We often think of history as like fixed and settled, but this deep dive has shown me that there's always more to learn,
mm-hmm.
more layers to uncover. Especially when it comes to the stories of those who have been marginalized or overlooked.
Absolutely. And it's not just about revising history.
Right.
It's about recognizing the contributions of all believers
mm.
and understanding how their experiences can shape our understanding of faith today.
Yeah. It's a powerful reminder that the early church wasn't a monolithic entity.
No.
It was a diverse and dynamic community full of individuals with unique gifts and perspectives.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if women like Phoebe, Prisca, Mary, and potentially even Junia
yeah.
were so integral to the movement's growth in its earliest days,
mm-hmm.
it makes you wonder about the roles women have played throughout Christian history
right.
and how those contributions might have been overlooked or minimized.
Yeah. For yeah, sure.
Exactly. This deep dive has challenged me to think more critically about the assumptions I bring to my own understanding of faith and church history.
Yeah.
It's a call to action, to dig deeper,
yeah.
to ask questions, and to be open to new perspectives.
Absolutely. We need to approach scripture and history with humility,
mm.
recognizing that our understanding is always evolving.
Right.
And we need to be willing to let those discoveries challenge our preconceived notions.
I think one of the most powerful takeaways from this deep dive is that God uses all kinds of people, regardless of their background or gender, to advance his kingdom.
Yeah.
The early church provides a compelling example of what's possible when we embrace the gifts of all people.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that the body of Christ is made up of many parts.
Right.
Each one essential to the whole.
Mm.
We need to celebrate the diversity of gifts and experiences within the church and empower everyone to use their talents to serve God and one another.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Paul's journey to Rome and the incredible individuals who supported him,
yeah.
we want to leave you with the final thought.
Okay.
What will you do to champion the voices and contributions of women in your own community, in your church, and in your world?
That's a good question for everyone to consider. The early church offers a beautiful model of inclusion and empowerment.
Right.
Let's learn from their example and continue to build a church that reflects the fullness of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
Where everyone is welcomed, valued, and empowered to use their gifts to their fullest potential.
We hope this deep dive has inspired you to continue exploring the fascinating world of early Christianity.
Me too.
Keep asking questions, keep digging deeper, and keep discovering the richness and diversity of our shared faith.
Absolutely.
Until next time, keep diving deep.